So the reading comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through to the end of the chapter. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars, and that the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstand, is this: the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches."
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. I don't know if you've ever been comforted in your life by the thought of the presence of Jesus standing with you or beside you, or an awareness of Jesus with you. There's that incident in one of the Narnia stories where a man is walking along the cliff, and he feels there's something like a horse that's next to him. He can feel it breathing, and then as the fog lifts, he realizes it's Aslan, of course, this Jesus figure who's been standing between him and the precipice all this time. And sometimes we do have this comforting sense of Jesus of Nazareth alongside us and his presence with us. In this particular passage, John the Apostle has a different kind of image of Jesus. John is, by this time in his life, about half a decade older than Roy, or perhaps a bit more. And he has a lifetime of ministry to look back on, more than 60 years of experience of Jesus and working among the churches. He's in exile on Patmos, and at that time, many of the churches are going through very bitter persecution. Diocletian killed 40,000 or more. It's been more than 20 years since Nero was burning Christians alive in Rome, and the church is under a lot of pressure. And he's writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor. These are churches just over the water from Patmos on the mainland of Asia Minor, which is now Turkey, and they're named here. And it says he was in the Spirit, so the Spirit of the Lord was upon him on the Sunday, the Lord's Day, and he hears a loud voice behind him, which is like a trumpet, a very declarative voice, saying, "Write these things that I'm going to show you and send it to these churches which are named." So he's writing to these churches. He says, I'm your companion in suffering and the kingdom and endurance. And he's reporting this vision. It says he turned round to see the voice. It's an unusual way to talk about it. You don't normally see voices. You hear them, don't you? But he means he wants to see where the voice is coming from. He wants to see this voice that's behind him like a trumpet. And when he turns around, he sees these seven golden lampstands, which are which standing for one of the seven churches. And then among the lampstands is someone like the Son of Man. And that's already a very significant phrase. It harks back to Daniel, the image of the Son of Man coming on the clouds. And it also reminds us that Jesus himself called himself the Son of Man. And John would have heard that many times himself. And he sees this figure standing among the churches. So this is Jesus, the cosmic Jesus, among the churches. And I want to just go through some of the aspects of this image of Jesus and encourage you to think of Jesus, the cosmic Jesus, in the church, among the church. And what does that mean for us? Well, he sees this figure standing like a Son of Man, that is like a human being. It is the Lord. And he's dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet. So this is reminiscent of the robes that the priests would wear. They went all the way down to the ground. So he's a priestly figure standing amongst the lampstands of the churches. And he's dressed with a golden sash down across his chest. And in that time, if you had a sash and you were working, you'd tie it around your waist. But when you were relaxing, when you were, as it were, reigning or just sitting in authority, then you'd tie it across your chest. So this is relaxing Jesus, priestly Jesus. This is authority Jesus. He's standing in authority there with a golden sash around his chest. It said his head and his hair were white as wool and white as snow. Does that remind you of anyone, perhaps? I had to laugh when Roy spoke about his wife hearing that some guy with white hair had sent all the bluestones to their front yard. So he has this very white hair, and I think this is a sign of his eternal existence, that he's from the ages, he's beyond all age. And so this is eternal Jesus. And he's white as snow, and his eyes are like blazing fire. So these are eyes that see all things, and not just see things, they penetrate into things. This Jesus who is priestly, who is in this position of authority and is relaxed and standing there, and he is seeing all things, and he is from the beginning and to the end. His feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace, and you have to understand the context of the book of Daniel to remember that when Daniel saw visions of these statues that represented empires, there was a statue that sort of began well at the top, but as it got to the bottom, it got worse and worse until you finally had feet of clay. That's where the phrase come from, and the feet were very weak, and the whole thing was unable to stand. But these are not like that. These are bronze, glowing bronze, very strong legs. So this is a firmly grounded figure. It's not going to go away. He's standing very secure. And his voice is like the sound of the rushing waters. So there's a torrent of the word of God coming from the mouth of this figure. It's a, you know, the sound of rushing waters can be quite overwhelming. If you go down to Cape Woolamai, and walk along that ocean beach there, and you see this massive surf just pounding down upon you. It's an incredible sound. Or if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, I had my wallet stolen at Niagara Falls.
Oh my God.
I remember that. If you go there, keep your hand on your wallet. But anyway, the noise can be just stupendous, the noise of this rushing water. It's all frequencies at once. It's just a wall of sound that's coming out. So this is quite a figure there. It's this priestly figure standing with great authority, with eyes that penetrate and see far, and is from of ages, from eternity, and his mouth is producing a sound that is just like the rushing of the torrent of the waterfall or of the ocean crashing on the beach. And this is not the Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, it is, but it's not like gentle Jesus walking by the beach eating fish.
No.
This is the cosmic Jesus. This is the Jesus who's Lord of all, who is from the beginning and to the very end. and he is standing with such great authority. It says in his right hand he held seven stars, and it's revealed later that these are the stars which are the angels of the churches. So each of the seven churches has an angel, a messenger that's been tasked by God to care for or look over that community. And Jesus, this cosmic Jesus, is holding these seven stars. So these angels are at his command. It's interesting that in Greek culture at the time, there was a deity who held the seven planets in its hands, and it was said to be everlasting as well. So this was maybe also a signal to the idol worshippers that this cosmic Jesus is above all those sorts of other gods. And out of his mouth, there's this grotesque figure of a sharp double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. You know, it's quite a disturbing image, but this is the power of the Word of God that's coming out. And this is a military image, really. It is an image of victory and of confrontation, of great authority. And his face is shining like the sun. We'll be singing about that later at the last song, shining like the sun at the trumpet sound. His face is shining and brilliant. So the glory of God is apparent. This is an amazing figure. This is the cosmic Jesus, the Lord of all. And it says that John, when he saw this figure, Jesus transformed, he fell at his feet as though dead. And then the hand of this figure was placed upon him. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I am alive. I was dead, but I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." So he has authority over death itself. And so Jesus says to him, "Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars is the churches, and the golden lampstands are standing for the churches. The seven stars are the angels." So this is such a different figure from the one that we often see of Jesus in the paintings. You know, Jesus holding a lamb, Jesus walking by the water, Jesus touching the sick woman. This is Jesus glorified. This is the cosmic Jesus. But the most important and interesting thing about this image that I want to leave with you and cause you to think about is that this cosmic Jesus is standing amongst the churches. He's in the lampstands. He's among the churches. Where is the cosmic Jesus? He's here. He's among us. He's with us. The one who is from the everlasting, from beginning to end, who holds the keys of death, who has authority over all things, whose voice is like the rushing of the waters, whose words are a two-edged sword. This Jesus, our priest, our king, our saviour, our Lord of all, he is among the churches, he is among us. And I really want to encourage you to capture this vision for yourself and understand what it means to be in the presence of the cosmic Jesus, the Lord of time, the Lord of all things, who comes with great power and authority. And it is enough that he is among us. It's enough that he has won and achieved all that he has done. The song in Revelation is, "Salvation belongs to our God." This is the Jesus who has won the great victory on our behalf. And I want to really encourage all of you to understand what it means that this cosmic Jesus is in the churches. He's among us. He's in your home. He's with you. He's beside you. He is an amazing presence, an amazing vision of the authority and the grace of Christ among us and in the churches. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. As I said, it's grotesque in a way. It's strange. It's odd. It's kind of puzzling to understand it. But it's very, very powerful that Jesus is Lord and he is among us, and that we can take great authority and comfort from that. I want you to remember that. Next time you're seeking the comfort of the Lord and you're thinking, "I'd like to have Jesus right with me now, I wish I could talk to him," maybe it's the cosmic Jesus you might need. It's the Jesus who's sovereign over all circumstances. It's the Jesus who scatters darkness just by the brilliance and the glory of his face. It's the Jesus whose word is speaking with two-edged sharpness into your situation, bringing truth and clarity into your situation. It's the Jesus who is the priest whose fit work is finished because he's standing there with the golden sash and he's accomplished all that needs to be accomplished on your behalf. This is the one whose face is shining like the sun and his radiance is shining upon you, upon us. the glow of his presence, of his countenance, it warms us and brings the glory of God into our lives, into our current circumstances. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this vision of the cosmic Jesus among the churches. And Lord, I thank you that this Jesus, this Lord of all, the Son of Man, the beginning and the end, the Lion of Judah, is here now, even among us. And Lord, I thank you for the angels of the churches that he has tasked with carrying out his work among us. And Lord, we seek to be worshippers, to acknowledge that you are truly Lord of all. And grant us, Lord, this clarity of this vision of your glory, of your reign, of your sovereignty among us as we go about our lives. Lord, we often get overwhelmed by the things around us. We see things through the filter of the pressures and the stresses that are upon us. But things are not as they seem to us, Lord. And I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, enable us to see with eyes that are open to the reality of the way things really are, to the reality of the cosmic Christ who stands among us and walks among us and is speaking into our lives with great authority and grace and accuracy about our circumstances, Lord. Help us to remember this. Lord, grant us eyes to see as you see and to see our circumstances as you see them. The eyes of Jesus. Amen.